morning, New Life family. Good to see everyone today and all that are online. Thank you for joining with us today. Could we give our guest another appreciation for joining with us? Amen. It's been interesting to note that lots of people are joining. We have 3 to 4 new families a week, and they're coming because they're drawn to come. Amen. Unless the Spirit of God draw you, it's so important to have the presence of God pull you in. Amen. Because the potential and the hope that's in that is, well, testimonies follow it. Because He's always reaching for, He's the one that's running us down. We're not running Him down. Amen. That's good to know that He loves us that much because we couldn't find Him. Amen. Only He can find us. And we're talking about a wonderful topic today. Amen. Making more room for Jesus. Wonderful topic today. I started to go with, you know, one with God. And the more I listen to Him, and the more I, you know, the one with God is a majority. I like that, you know, but there's challenges that come with that. Amen. There's some spiritual pride that you might embrace if you're not careful. Amen. Because you might think, me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. You ever heard of that song? I dated myself just then. A personal relationship with Jesus is significant. But remember this, don't forget this, that we're a member of the body of Christ. Amen. We're a member of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Amen. And the body of Christ, amen, He made a statement to the men, you know, what man, through Paul's writing, never loved his own body. And he's talking about a relationship between a husband and a wife in relationship with one another. And so God loves His body, His bride. And so me and Jesus, we really don't have our own thing going, even though each one of us is unique. And He knew what He was doing when He put us together. And He had a place for us, specifically for us, individually, in the body. Amen. And so I had to rethink some things because anybody like me time? We're being honest, right? We're being on me time. But if you listen to Daddy on it, it'll get you. Because me time can be dangerous time. Amen. So I done some research on me time. And I got it, Lord, do it. Talk to me about my me time. He said, I'm glad you asked, son. He said, you couldn't because I was talking to you and I finally got your attention. He said, with me, you have hope. Without me, you can do. And so I'd found my time. I found out, you know, I was actually taking a break from Him at times. And I had to research and I got really, really convicted. Really convicted. Amen. And thus, He said, now, this is why you need to make more room for me. Amen. I had made room for other things that were not bad things. They just wasn't God things. Amen. And he worked with it. He's been long-suffering. He's been kind, gentle. He's just awesome. And He just keeps putting up with my religious ideas that I think are okay. And so I get to keep talking to you about the guy in the mirror. And I'm learning a lot. Amen. Based on the relationships I'm having with the church. But most importantly, the relationship I'm having with that beautiful girl on the front row. Oh, she gonna smack talk. That's what she does. Amen. And so the Lord put me and her together 42 years ago, last August. And me and her said, man, if we could just know what we know now back 42 years ago, it'd be a lot more fun. But the relationship she and I, our relationship tells us where we are with him. And, you know, we've become okay with it. We're becoming much more sober with, okay, the process, yes, Lord, deny myself, take up the cross, follow Jesus thing. Don't ever stop. It's every day. Amen. This is the day the Lord hath made because he wants to reveal himself. He wants to be intimate with all of us, his bride. And he wants to call us up higher. And the only way that you and I can go up higher is a life of repentance. You know, we started this race with him by repenting. Lord, my stinking thinking is not working, so give me a new way of thinking. He said, good, now I'm going to give you truth and it's going to set you free. I thought that that all happened at one time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, once saved, always saved, I'm in. No, he's still saving us from a lot of things that we're not aware of. There's all kind of lies that I'm being set free, and I'm 61 years old. And the humility that's coming in waves because of religious thinking that I thought was okay. No, he was the one that was being long-suffering and putting up with it because he loved me and working with me gracefully. Amen. And so evaluating where I'm at with him on making room for him leads to a revelation and a truth that, oh, you're talking about repent some more, humble myself some more, be broken and contrite some more. The more I'm humbled before his presence, the more room he has access to in my heart and life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so making room for Jesus is not about you need to change so I can have a better day. Anybody been upset with somebody before? Let's get this today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, making room for Jesus has a lot to do with the next person that's in your path, especially the one you sit next to that you call your spouse. It's not about Tammy changing. For me, it's about Daddy changing me. Regardless of where he's at with her, it's about me being changed so that I can receive what it is about her that he's so in love with. And y'all, I wish I could hear like I hear now about his daughter 42 years ago. All I could hear was, that's a good-looking girl right there. I want to be with her from now on. I loved her perfume. I loved the way she looked. I loved everything about her. She caught me. She hooked me, and I couldn't get away. But neither one of us knew what we were committing to when we went into covenant with him in marriage. We didn't understand what leave, cleave, and be one really meant. Anybody catching that? Leave, cleave, and be one. I had my idea of what leaving and cleaving and being one was. And he worked with it. And he was able to help me get broken and contrite. Amen. Because I found out that my idea wasn't working well. And I had some religious ideas mixed in with that. Some church ideas that were mixed in with that. And it was revealing things I needed to know about me. At first I thought it was, honey, do you know you need to change? Can I help you? I can really help you change if you let me. And the enemy loves that, but he does his job well enough so that we cry out and say, Lord, I don't know what's wrong. You gave me a tough girl to deal with. And he worked through that until he revealed to me, it's the guy in the mirror, son, that I want to change. It's the guy in the mirror that has a unique makeup that I made in my image. I put you together so that in my house, I can be Lord. And I started finding out, amen, about what making more room to Jesus looks like. Amen. Until there's nothing in me left that's not like him. And I guess he'll be doing that for a long time, because it's a journey and a relationship that's growing and getting deeper and getting more precious. And I value it more now, because through much tribulation shall you enter in. And we got all our ideas on what entering in looks like and arriving. No, you're entering into true identity. Amen. You're moving into a place where you have a revelation of what true fellowship, true relationship, walking like Adam walked with God in the beginning. He brings it all back around, and God now steps into a body and gives us an example, amen, of what sonship looks like, and shows us how to walk with God. Anybody want to walk with God? Amen. And in walking with him, he's going to keep inviting you up and inviting you up. And when you arrive at this place that's awesome, and you're so excited, and you're dancing, and you're shouting, you might be on your fourth face weeping, and the joy of the Lord is just exploding out of you, get ready, because he's going to invite you up some more. And some more. And this is an eternal journey with the one that's in love with you. It goes beyond the grave. It goes beyond this finite being. Amen. We have this body of flesh, and he gives us a new body. And we keep walking with him. Anybody read in scripture where Enoch walked with God and he was not? And he just kept walking with God. You ever read where a chariot of fire come and picked up by a guy by the name of Elijah? Amen. That was before the most powerful event that ever happened on the face of the earth and in time and history. That happened prior to the cross of Jesus Christ. I just wonder if we caught hold of that, what would begin to happen, and the testimonies and the events that would begin to happen if we truly agreed with him being Lord in our life. And he gave us something that he didn't give Elijah and Enoch. Yeah, they had to meet with him after he died. They had to meet with him and hear the gospel. And they too had to be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? That everything hinges on that greatest event called the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. The love of God demonstrated. I need more of God. Amen. And so I want to spend just a few moments. I want to read a few scriptures, which y'all doubted I would. Are y'all finding out how powerful you are? That if we really let God have his way, you will be a written epistle, read and known of all men. That your life, people will begin to read it and value you more than a book. Oh, just a minute now. You telling me that when you stand before Jesus Christ, that you're going to put more weight on that book than him? Pastor, why you got to ask these questions like that? Because the book called the Bible, which I love dearly, lots of people worship it more than they worship him. And I didn't plan on saying this, but man, the unction came up on me and wants me to encourage you to know that truth is ready to set you free. You can take that book called the Bible and use it and kill people with it. The letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive. So, whether you know this or not, this is the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not getting brownie points because you can quote the Scripture. Now, I'm not picking on you if you can quote the scripture, because I can quote a lot of them. Tammy will tell you. I have an issue there, and I need deliverance, because it hadn't been healthy for me to quote all the scripture I quoted to my wife over 42 years. Are y'all tracking? It killed her spirits this time. I thought it was bringing life, but it was killing her spirit. Oh, several of you couples need to hear this. If you're going to be Christ-like, you're not going to kill, you're going to bring life. If you're really in love with your spouse, you won't beat them over the head with your 10-pound Bible study. That's the devil. That's not Jesus. The devil believes in one God and trembles. And the devil gives a lots of Bible studies. He's doing it today. Should I read the scripture? All right. In John, 1 John 3, verse 9, this is in your Bible. It's to bring life today, not death. And by the way, you're about to get life, because most people are not even aware that go to church that they can actually live a life and not sin. Most Christians will tell you it's not possible. Well, Pastor, are you? No, I'm finding out about me and my wife still after 42 years that I thought I was doing right, and I found, oh my God, I missed the mark again. So you feel better now? Daddy's dealing with me. Amen. I too have to cast down thoughts and imaginations that exalt themselves above God. Did you know that's part of the Christian life every day? The question is, are you going to cast them down or not? That's the question. And if you do cast them down, was it you or was it the Holy Spirit in you that gave you power to cast it down? Because the temptation is, look at what I did. And all of us are going to agree as the body of Christ that look at what the Lord has done, right? We can do nothing of ourselves. All the goodness that happens is because he's good. There's no one in this room that's good. Only God is good. You ever thought you were a good person? And you have to cast that down, because there's only one good, and it's God. And the way that we can step into our true identity in Christ is to make room for him. That means I'm going to have to say no to this thought and that idea and that religious thought and that religious Bible study and all those voices that I can still hear in my past that said, no, it's this way. And I found it at what that was the wrong way. That it took the Spirit of God to help me see the right way. Amen. I think my biological family is pretty cool. And they know a lot of scriptures. And lots of them go to church. Pastor, where are you going now? I love my biological family. But the Lord sits on the throne, not my biological family. And the throne that he wants to sit on in my life and your life has to do with our hearts. And you're just going to have to let go of some things that the enemy's convinced you. No, that's sacred. That's a sacred cow. We worship there. I know that the presence of God is convincing some of you here today that there's more hope. And now that you can be a major influence and a big hug for your biological family by just saying, yes, Lord. Amen. I don't know what you just said, Lord, but yes, Lord. It looks like you're being mean, but yes, Lord. It's liberating me. He's helping me kill the flesh. The most hostile thing in our life is the flesh you wear. It's caused you more trouble than any person that you've ever been in relationship with is your flesh. And there's some people you want to knock out, I know. But that confirms that the flesh is the problem, not the person that you want to knock out. The person that you want to take and just give them a good whooping is there as the mercy of God to tell you, let me change you. Tune in for station identification and listen to what the Spirit is saying. And when I get through speaking to you, you'll look at them differently. You'll be able to go like Jesus did to the cross in exchange for a man by the name of Barabbas and die. Anybody want to be like Jesus? There was two boys that says, we want to sit on your right hand. Got their mama to go tell Jesus that. They wasn't brave enough. And the Lord said, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And they said, yes. He said, indeed you will be. And go check out their life. Amen. They found out what the truth was. Amen. And they became a witness on behalf of true identity, and that was Christ. It reads here in 1 John 3:9, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. Underline that, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sin. They can't sin because they are children of God. The reason we sin is because God's life is not in us. No worries. No worries. Relax. You and I get to make a decision today to make more room for Him. Some of you need to be encouraged today, I know, and I'm going to encourage you and let you know that back when I was a puppy, about 12 years old, I was born again. And for about 3 weeks, man, I walked in the light because I was filled with the Spirit and with fire like it happened in Acts chapter 2. And, man, it was, when you experience God like Joel wrote, said all flesh would experience this. When you experience that, it's awesome. But after about 3 weeks, I wasn't feeling that. I was feeling like, you're my problem now. And people were messing up in front of me, and I was getting like geared up with my little one lens. I need the red lights to change at the right time here now. And so I found out my grandmother, which was an important factor in my life, she said, son, you might want to go back and let the Lord kind of touch your heart right now. Maybe you need to go back and let Him fill you up again and make more room for Him this time. The Lord Jesus said, if the light you think in you, you think. The light that you think in you, if it's darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus said that, by the way. And so, if I'm not okay and it's your fault, because I'm wise, it's not my fault, it's your fault. Then the light that I have in me is in darkness. But I got proof. I got Bible on you, it's your fault. How great is that darkness? Now I've taken the letter to kill with it because I'm going to prove you're wrong and I'm right. Anybody ever done that before? You ever taken a Bible and given a Bible study because you want to prove that their doctrine is wrong and your doctrine is right? Like, I'm going to actually reveal something to somebody. Yeah, I'm going down here. I'm actually going to reveal something to somebody. And only God can reveal. He's the revelator. He's the revealer. He's the enlightener. He's God. And God manifested before us in flesh to show us how to be sons that would be the light of the world. And what identity? In his identity. That's why we're baptized in his name. Right? So, I'm going to reveal something to somebody. So if you find out that the light that you have, that you're so sure of, it's light, it's darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, there's an indication, ladies and gentlemen, that if I'm eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that I'm probably convinced I'm on the side of the good one because I go to church all the time. And the good side of the tree is more deceived than the evil side. A sinner knows they're a sinner. It's bad when you think you're righteous and the darkness in you is darker than you could ever imagine. And so it's a common idea that, oh, you're going to sin. Well, yep, I'm going to mess up because I don't have all truth yet. But when I get up in the morning, my heart is postured, Lord, here I am. I have made a decision today to make more room for you. So valid. All right. This girl's got me. I think she knows it. Because I caught her off guard with her back turned to me and I hugged her. And she couldn't really hug me back, but this is me. If I just feel a pat, I'm good. Well, she just took the hug because, hey, it's unfair. I caught her off guard and she can't. So I rolled up and said, she didn't hug me. I went to sleep, no big deal, because I'm going to get a hug in the morning anyway, again. That's how I go about it. So no big deal to me. But it happened from heaven's lens for a purpose. She's got the Bible on, and she's listening when she sleeps. She has it level that she can hear it. And I can barely hear it. At 2:34, I wake up. Normally when I wake up at 2:34, he's been talking to me, and it's time to get my downloads and do my crying and repenting and all that stuff and writing. Well, I ain't thinking about nothing. I'm waking up 8 o'clock, 2:34, but I hear her Bible app, and it says, the city of God prepared and adorned as a bride for her husband. The city of God is the bride of Christ. That's his paradise. You want to be a part of the bride. And you want to be in relationship with the members of the body because that's where all the fun's at. That's where we get to get the breath of God and we get intimacy with him because the body of Christ is the womb of God where the seed of his truth comes and germinates inside his womb and children are born. Wow. Well, I'm not paying attention, but it's running over my mind over and over and over again. And then I remember, oh, the clock said 2:34. That's God. It was 2:34 that got me up. Not the scripture. I was going to figure out a way to cast it down, get rid of it. But the clock, 2:34, said, get up, that's me. And so when I got in there, I sat down in my chair, getting ready. God's about to talk. I even opened up where the passage was. I knew where to go. And he said, son, he said, I've been giving you a hug, but you won't hug me back. What do y'all think happened to me when that came? Whales came. I'm not hugging you back. And then he begins to talk to me about all the times that he's been trying to get me to respond back to him. And he said, son, I need you to get a revelation right now of what I'm trying to give you, because my body, my bride, is hurting. And he begins to show me how deceived I've been, y'all. You know what he does? He takes me, because I'm a type of the bride of Christ. He says, son, you're like Eve, you're deceived. And I'm like Adam, I'm not. Y'all tracking? And the only hope that Eve has is that Adam's in her life. The only hope we've got, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus, our husband, is in our life. And he's there to put the seed of truth in us. But he can't if I won't hug him back. And he says, this is how you do it, son. Prepare yourself. Repent. You don't know nothing. You're deceived. And you need me to talk to you. And then he let me know you talk too much. He said, you're just rambling all the time with stuff. And she'll tell you. But I think I'm speaking the truth, because I like talking the Bible all the time. She said, honey, can we talk about something else? And the Lord let me know. He says, you mean well, son, because you want to please me, but I'm looking for a hug back. I need you to prepare yourself and be ready for me all the time. For what? Intimacy. I want to put the seed of my truth in my womb. But I need you to prepare yourself with a repentant heart, a contrite spirit. And I need you to adorn yourself, not for you or others, but for me. Don't adorn yourself in any fashion for yourself or anyone else, just me. Put on a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in my sight a great price. The silence in the room says heaven is talking to the ones he drew here today. Why? Because he wants us to make more room for him. He's asking for us to give him the place that he deserves in our life. He wants us to get a revelation of leaving, cleaving, and being one. Me and this girl didn't understand none of that when we was ignorant of it all. But we had an attraction to one another. And we were serious about being together the rest of our life. And we wanted to share time together, and we didn't know one another at all. Same thing with the bride of Christ. You started this race. Paul asked the church in written form, he said, you started well, what did hinder you? You know, what would hinder me and you making more room for Jesus? Anybody want to know? It's in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 through 5. If you write that down, do it for your homework. What is it, Pastor? It's this. Paul said, this is why you won't make room for him. He says, I fear, as Eve was deceived by the serpent, he said, you are going to be deceived. He's writing to the church, the bride. He said, because you happily listen to anything anyone tells you, even if they preach another Jesus. Now, what was he writing that for? Confirming what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Many will say in that day, Lord, didn't we do this and this? And anybody doing anything for Jesus? He's not looking for any one of us to do anything for him. But the Christian world is over. They're wore out. They're overtaxed in their ability, trying to do good works all the time. And they'll talk about it. The Christian world will talk about it. I do this and I do that and I do that. That's supposed to be their free ticket in. Because I'm a part of this or I'm part of that. And Jesus said, I don't know who you are, ye that work iniquity. The iniquity is called self-will. We heard this week that Satan worship is self-worship. I've been a Satan worshiper before. I really like that guy in the mirror. Man, I petted that guy. And that's all that I have to do is be selfish. And I'm a Satan worshiper. Is that true? Anybody want some me time now? As long as I'm looking for me time, I don't have time to make room for Jesus. I need somebody to pet me and burp me and, yeah, change my diaper maybe. Because I love me. Self-worship is Satan worship. Amen. And so I'm letting y'all know, honestly, I can't tell you how much Satan worship has been in my life, and yet Jesus has never stopped loving me. He's never stopped running after me. He's never stopped knocking on my door, trying to get in, but he can't get in because I have to purposely prepare and adorn myself, make more room for him. Is that true? And so for you that are beat up and wondering, man, I've been going to church all my life and this thing ain't working. Church going don't work for nobody. If you go to church, you're going to be disappointed. Pastor said that. That's right. But if you are the church, you'll be rewarded with intimacy with him, with passion, with the joy of the Lord, with life and hope, victory, healthy relationships. Woo! And so as much as I appreciate an amen, thank you, because that agreement's huge, it's not what qualifies us. I'm glad you can say it, because most of my amens have been repentance. That's amen, that's right. Yes, Lord, you got me. We're making a shift. We're living a life of repentance. And so the Lord let me know. He said, son, I've been hugging you, but you won't hug me back. And it wasn't that he was angry with me. He made that emphasis in my spirit. And it took me having a girl that I'm in love with, knowing she's got me. No ill intent on her part. That was me. God just needed to get a message through. And remember this, married couples. Remember this. Don't forget this. Your relationship with your spouse tells you everywhere you need to start making shifts for him. It is not your spouse's fault that the relationship isn't working. I'm so glad he ain't telling me it's my fault that the relationship isn't working with him. He just keeps going the extra mile. And he keeps loving on me and reaching for me and chasing me down and knocking on my door. Anybody feel the presence of God? Well, here's the danger of feeling the presence of God. Because you're going to feel his presence when he's knocking on the door. That don't mean he's in his house. Come on, we just read it. The reason you sin and you're trying, why do I keep doing that? I feel God, but you won't let him in. He's hugging you, but you won't hug him back. You keep doing stupid then. Keep messing up. Keep dropping the ball. And he's there, and you know he's there. We keep justifying the fact that we can feel God, that I'm okay. And he said most of the people, the many that said, didn't we do this in your name, all that in your name, they could feel him too. But only few be there that find this. He said, only few be there that open the door and let him in. What's the product of one that lets him in his house, their house? It's not good works. It's not laying hands on the sick and then recovering. It's not the signs and wonders. That just naturally follows anyone that believes anything God says. I mean, you can believe in healing and you're not even born again and it works. Come on, the disciples hadn't been born again and they were laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. True? And many, he said, are going to say, well, I was there for this and this and this and this, and I don't know who you wouldn't let me in my own house. But the evidence that he's in his house is his nature. It's the Beatitudes. Why do I have such a problem with Beatitudes? Because for the Beatitudes to manifest in my life, there has to be pushback. Through much tribulation shall you enter in. What are we entering into, identity? We're becoming Christ. Now, the problem with that is the enemy tells you, see there, it ain't fair. You got to go through pain, you got to go through suffering, you got to get beat up. No, that uh-uh. When you receive your husband, he covers you. Come on, church, got to catch this. When we receive him, he covers us, empowers us, gives us authority and dominion. He says, my yoke is light and easy. The reason it's been heavy for most of the Christian world and them saying, whoa, man, the devil was on my back all week. I barely made it to church and I about got here. Yeah, the devil has them, not Jesus. The devil's in the house, not Jesus. But he comes as the other Jesus. And he makes the cross of Jesus Christ look bad instead of a revelation of the love of God. Jesus is an awesome husband. He's the best husband there's ever been. He knows exactly how to handle his wife, and he covers her, and he protects her. He takes all of the brunt. He just wants her to be with him and see how much he loves her. And when you have him in the house, whenever the pushback shows up, it's like you ain't got a problem. Your faith is so settled in him because he's in his house, you're not worried about anything. And you walk through the fire and you don't even have smoke on you when you get to the other side. Yeah, the boat fell apart, but you held on to the Jesus, he's still floating. Or it looked like, man, the boat was going to crash and burn, but the moment I screamed at my husband a little bit, he said, peace be still. And we was on the other side immediately. He'll put up with our antics and our religious ideas and keep knocking at the door. And we keep feeling his presence, but we won't let him in. Now, is there anybody here today that would love to prepare yourself and adorn yourself for your husband? Anybody would like to do that? Because I know your husband that you're sitting next to probably don't deserve it. Talk to the ladies. But don't forget your physical representation of Jesus. Don't forget him. But get over him. Now let's talk to the rest of the group. All of us that are bride of Christ. Jesus is the best husband that's ever been. And he knows how to tend to his business. And his business is his bride. Don't mess with his bride. Y'all believe that husband's that way? But the enemy has been given access enough to the bride of Christ to speak. And Eve, talking about the bride of Christ, Eve, the bride of Christ is deceived. Why? Because we need Jesus every day, every moment of every second of every... Does the bride of Christ need Jesus all the time? Do we need him to cover us all the time? Well, then if you need to be away from him for a little while, you're uncovered. And if you're uncovered, the enemy has access. All kind of voices. All kind of religious ideas. And it sure looks like Jesus. It looks like fruit that's good to eat. And you'll be happily listening to all kinds of talk, even if they're preaching another Jesus, which is not our husband. Pastor Lowe, you have just stepped out there today. Would you like to prepare yourself and adorn yourself for him? Can I give you a few illustrations of how that works? Just a few. Ain't got time to do more than that. The Lord's going to work it out with you personally on some areas where you can work on preparing and adorning. Not for yourself or for anyone else, but for him. Be very quick to listen and slow to speak. Right? Amen? Be proactive. There's two things you can do to prepare yourself and adorn yourself. Number one is be proactive, and then number two is the group. Group. I need Jesus. Well, if you need Jesus, then you need the people that he puts in your path. Amen? Because he gathers, and he's present where there's two or three that are gathering. That's where you'll find him in the midst. Because his bride is made up of many members. So being proactive and grouping is saying, I'm preparing myself to be ready at all times. Guess where the mind of Christ comes? When we group. Guess what? I'm going to group. You know why I'm going to group? Because he says when you are more concerned about others' needs than yourself, this is the mind of Christ. Groups scare me. Who told you that? What voice have you been listening to? Why would you reject Jesus and not group? Because you believe a lie. And if the light that you think's light, it's darkness, how great is that darkness? It's cutting life off from you. Did y'all know that faith is what pleases God? And sometimes it takes faith to group. And Daddy is okay with it taking faith to group. Because if you ever group, you'll get set free. This is what we're closing with today. They were so impacted by what they were hearing him speak. 500 plus people grouped after he come out of the grave. Well, if somebody come out of the grave, I'm going to group up there too. Check this out. Yeah, that's him. And man, I'm going to go tell somebody else. He's out of the grave. And he tells them to tarry in Jerusalem. Don't go. I'm going to go witness about you now. And that's where the church world's missing it. They're witnessing about Jesus, but they haven't submitted to him yet. How do I know that? Because there's only one gospel, and it's an eternal salvation. We're going to talk about that next week. There ain't two gospels. There's one gospel. And it was delivered by one that Jesus chose. His name is Peter. He gave him the keys. And he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. He got those keys. And he's one of the 120 that he said, now, I want you to hang out, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself and adorn yourself because I'm coming to get you as my bride. And you know how he came? And he consummated the marriage in Acts chapter 2. He consummated it. He came in spirit and in fire. What passion did he come in? So much so that the bride was only saying what they could hear their husband say. And they were only doing what they could see was going on in the heavenlies. And those that thought they were smart says, what's going on here? What means this? We hear this. How is this happening? Oh, they prepared themselves. They adorned themselves with a meek. They done to shut up. They quit talking, and they let heaven come and give them something to talk about. And out of the bride came forth the most wonderful utterance of heaven. And Peter, with the key, said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. What shall we do? I'm glad you asked. Prepare yourself. Repent. Go down in the water and receive his name, which is above every name. Come on. Take on the name of Jesus. And when you receive that name, which is above every name that we're called by, he said, guess what's going to happen? The evidence that you truly prepared yourself and repented, the evidence that you didn't walk down in the water and just get wet, is going to show up. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. My bride's going to talk like I talk, walk like I walk, and represent me because she's adorned herself by putting me on. Didn't just happen in Acts chapter 2, y'all. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. To your children and their children, and as many as our Lord our God shall call. It had never changed. Yet the enemy has convinced most of the Christian, well, oh, that was for them back then. That's not for us today. Just do these good things. Just join this group and that group, and y'all go, and we're going to feed the hungry, and we're going to spend some time with the orphans and visit those who are in prison because we're doing it to him. But that don't save you. Amen. It's the evidence that you're walking in a saved dynamic. But most of the people, that just naturally follows anyone that believes anything God says. Truly. If you're here today and you need something that you know you don't, because I'm hearing everybody that I'm talking to, I'm hearing true repentance happen in most of the Christians I'm talking to. And our church is multicultural. Our church is denominational, impacted several denominations here. And every one of y'all are saying it. There's something that I need that I don't have. And all it is Daddy saying to all of us, give me some more room. You're still trying to make it off of something that happened between me and you years ago. We started something then, but you wouldn't keep dating me. And I've been trying to knock on your door so I can invite you into a ceremony and a covenant where there's intimacy. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to start happening. It's not far away. Just like it happened in Acts 2, Acts 10. While Peter yet spake the words, they were sitting. The Spirit of God fell on them. And it's not going to be just some. It's going to be everybody in the house. No, it's getting set up, y'all. Because you believe. I believe. And enough's enough. We're making more room for him. Could we stand? If you're here today and you know the Lord's prompted you to be prayed for, did y'all know that the laying on of hands, that doctrine still works today? The doctrine of laying on hands is a kingdom principle. Now, you can stand right where you're standing and be filled with God's Spirit and get every miracle that God wants you to have if you will open up your heart and your faith is there. But there's something about contact. And I posture myself, I'm not Mr. Perfect, but I posture myself to let Daddy have his house. And I can't do nothing, but he can. I just decided to be available for him to do what he can do. And you know what? That's all he needs. Isn't that right, Glenda? That's all he needs. There's an available person that says, you know, Daddy, come to your house and be the King of Kings in your kingdom from your house right here and pour your glory into the earth. I just want to go with you on the journey. That's why he gave you a body you're wearing, so you could join with him on his journey. All he needs is his body. That's it. Anybody ready to give Daddy his body? Anybody ready to give Jesus his body? That you've handled it long enough and messed it up enough that it's time to let him do something with it that really works. The joy of the Lord is about to come in waves to hearts right now. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the miracle of truth that's in this room. I felt the very hearts of those you drew here today like a sponge soaking it up. And I thank you right now for the evidence that your bride is hugging you back. We're yielding. We're submitting. We're becoming subject to our source right now of life. Guests, thank you for being here. If you need to go, you're welcome to leave. Thank you for joining with us. But we're just going to give him a little hug back here and see how far it takes us. And we need him. Anybody need him? If you need him today, get out of behind them chairs and walk up here. Let the Lord know I'm hugging you. I'm giving you what you deserve. Come on, as you walk, you're moving heaven. Angels are like rejoicing right now. Woo! Miracles are in the making right now. Everybody that's making a even if you stand there, God's still going to blow your mind. Amen? He loves you. God bless you. Receive it today. And I'll pray for anyone. Come on, the prayer team, come up. We're going to pray. This point of contact is important. God bless you.